Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs when he returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, thy God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer. Lord, your word is living, and it is truth, and it is an opportunity for us to see you and to understand more of who you are, so that we may become more like you. Help us to do that this evening. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I have a quiz. This is the participation section. Who am I? I sold over 400 million records worldwide. I'm the best solo music artist of all time. I've won 3 Grammy Awards. I won the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award at age 36. I have the most gold and platinum albums. I have the most albums charted on the Billboard 200. Thank you. This one's easier. I'm tied for first in PGA Tour wins. I'm second in men's major champions. I was number one in the world at age 20. I was number one in the world for the most consecutive weeks, once 264 weeks, and the second time a few years later at 281 weeks. I was the number one player in the world for the greatest number of weeks. I've won the Byron Nelson Award 8 times. What's the Byron Nelson Award? Kevin? The lowest gross score, I had to look it up too, it's the lowest gross score of average. So 8 times. And he was the leading money list for 10 seasons. Who am I? Tiger Woods. All right, this one's a little bit harder. That one was easy. This one's a little bit harder. maybe not. I was king of ancient Greek kingdom of Macedon at age 20. By age 30, I conquered most of the known world. I was undefeated in battle, 20-0, and I founded 20 cities. Okay, that was easy. All right. Last one. I hold numerous world records. The first one, I ate 182 chicken wings in 30 minutes. 53 soft shell beef tacos in 10 minutes. 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes. Some of you may relate to this. 121 Twinkies in 6 minutes. 32 Big Macs in 38 minutes. That's like a Big Mac a minute. And the top, for his eighth straight national title at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, this man ate 76 HDBs, hot dog and bun, in 10 minutes. No way. Wow. I'm surprised you guys know that. That's amazing. Joey Chestnut. No, he's alive. He's alive and well. 6 foot, 210 pound, 210. He looks healthy, actually. I've given you some resumes of some people who have accomplished things. The reason being is because tonight in Psalm 146, we're going to contrast a few resumes, two actually, the resume of man and the resume of God, which is a little bit laughable when you think about it, because it doesn't take much of a T-chart or a plus and minus category to say what are the bonuses of trusting in man versus trusting in God. However, we find ourselves over and over again trusting in man. So we'll read this and we'll heed it and we'll learn from it. This chapter is it starts the last five chapters of the book of Psalms, called the Great Psalter, this section of the Psalms. It is all praise. So praise is mentioned, the word praise is mentioned 44 times in these last five Psalms. The typical structure of a Psalms throughout the books that we've seen, and there are some exceptions, but most of the structures that we've seen are giving praise to the Lord, and then opposing some sort of a problem, the weight of sin, or some sort of pressure that is antithetical to righteousness and common with wickedness, compresses on the writer, and then the writer then says, but my deliverer, or praise to the Lord, but I will still. And that's the basic structure of the Psalms that we've been reading. But in these last five Psalms, there's none of those words. And as I flipped back through the Psalms, I could see some words such as trouble, slander, downtrodden, depression, enemies, arrows. And you can think about these words and think about how we've read some of these Psalms as I say some of these words and think about how he's described some of these. Trouble, persecution, affliction, crying, tears, fear, falsehood, longing, wicked, death, evil, deceit, adversary, sins, and anxious thoughts. So we've dealt with all of those in the past 145 Psalms, but now we're putting those aside, and all we're focusing on is praise. So what do we take from that? Well, sometimes in our lives, we need to put all these pressures of sin and the weights of the world aside and just focus on praising God. And so that's what we're going to do for these last 5 weeks and these last five Psalms. We're going to focus on praising God. So today we're going to see a contrast of man and God. So let's look at it verse by verse. So first he says, praise the Lord. Praise is really the word hallelujah, which is hallel, which is the Jewish word for praise, and Jehovah. So the combination of Hallel and Jehovah. So hallelujah, we're praising God. And it's not just a praise the Lord. It's a praise the Lord. It's a something we're excited about and we're joyful about to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We've seen this before in Psalm 103 where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And that's what he's doing here. He's almost talking to himself. He is talking to myself. He says, oh, my soul. He's talking to myself. I will praise the Lord as long as I have life, as long as I live, I will praise the Lord. He's almost convicting himself, convincing himself, motivating himself, resonating in himself that I will praise the Lord. No matter the situations, no matter the context, he is resolute. The writer is resolute. I will praise the Lord, no matter my context or my situation. He is convinced and adamant that he will praise the Lord. And then we go into the contrast of what we should not be trusting in. Verse 3, do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs when he returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Notice the digression, the poetic digression of the language that is used here. Princes or nobles, your version may say, mortal man, spirit, and even his thoughts. Nobles is the connotation of someone who has resources. I think the best comparison would be a politician. A politician has power. Back then, the nobles probably referred to someone with royalty. So royalty would be someone like a politician. If you know any politicians, they have the resources to get things done. And if something is on their agenda and you are lined up with their agenda, you have a great shot of getting something done with the politician. But if you have a politician who has his own agenda and you're contrast to that agenda, there's really nothing that they can do. But a politician is someone who has resources, someone who can get things done. And so often we find ourselves relying on people with resources. Well, this person can do that for me. If I can just partner with this person, then I can be okay. It's a slippery slope when we start depending on people and on man. Spurgeon has a great quote that I found here. The website is really in depth. If you've ever browsed it and want to look up something that you just want to see his commentary on it, it's really a robust website. But there are quotes on there that he gives, and it's really a great resource. This is what he says about trusting in men. Men are always far too apt to depend upon the great ones of earth and forget the great one above. And this habit is the fruitful source of disappointment. Princes are only men, and men with greater needs than others. Why then should we look to them for aid? So what he's saying is princes, the higher you get, what do they say, more money, more problems? The higher you get, the more problems that you have. They're not going to be concerned about... Did I quote that right, Kevin? I see you. I think you're right. Sorry. More money, more problems. You're right. Why then should we look to them for aid? They are in greater danger, are burdened with greater cares, and are more likely to be misled than other men. Therefore, it is folly to select them for our confidence. Probably no order of man has been so false to their promises and treaties as men of royal blood. And we can take that out and put in politicians today, right? So live as to deserve their trust, right? So we want to live our lives so that we are trustworthy and that someone like that can trust us and can help us when we're in that position. But do not burden them with your trust. Do not burden them. As a Christian, we can help each other, but not depend on others. So it's a balance, right? Because we always need to help from others, but our final dependence cannot be on man. It must be on the Lord. Because the man, as it says in this verse, even his thoughts eventually fade away. All those resumes that I gave you are great accomplishments, but eventually no one speaks Greek anymore. For Alexander the Great, no one speaks, even their thoughts will disappear. Don't trust in man, trust in God. So now let's move to the comparison, if we want to even call it a comparison. Verse 5, how blessed is he, and I'll read from 5 to 9. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widows, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. Verse 5 starts here with a beatitude. How blessed. And we haven't, the first beatitude that we saw was in the first chapter, and this is the last beatitude that you'll find in the psalm. So how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob? So why does he say the God of Jacob? Because if we look at the God of Jacob, we know that he's a God who keeps his promises, because we still see Jews today. So therefore, we know that God is keeping his promises. There are evidence of God's keeping his promises. He's the creator. He made the heaven and the earth and all the sea that is in them. Why would we trust the creation instead of the creator? He's the truth keeper. He keeps his... So this word here in verse 6, he keeps faith forever. So that word also could be truth. So it could be referring to the perseverance of the saints, where the Lord will never let someone's faith disappear. He will always protect it. It also could mean that he keeps truth forever, that he is the keeper of truth, and that he will always be truth. So he's the truth keeper. He's the vindicator. He executes justice for the oppressed. He's the provider. He gives food to the hungry. He's the deliverer. He sets the prisoners free. He's the healer. He opens the eyes of the blind. He's the uplifter. He raises those who are bowed down. Think of the pressures of this world, and think of a person who is hunched over from the sin and the weight of this world, and then picture our Lord and Savior lifting him up and straightening them out again. He is the protector. He protects the strangers. In this world, we are strangers, but we are never strangers with the Lord. And he is the comforter for those who are fatherless and those who are the widow. He is the ultimate comforter, if not on this world, in this world, then in the next. But notice that he is against the wicked. For all these things that he wrote that are the attributes that are listed above are for the ones who are walking in the way of the righteous. And as we've seen throughout the Psalms, even in Psalms 1, you see that there are two kinds of people. There are ones that are in the way of the righteous and the ways of the wicked. Psalms 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the wicked, the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. If you are in Christ today, then all those attributes of God apply to you today. He's your comforter. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's your promise keeper. But if you're not in Christ today, you don't have those gifts at your disposal. And I would encourage you that if you're not in Christ today, that you would call on him and ask him and have those resources at your disposal. Finally, he reigns forever. The God, O Zion, to all generations. O Zion refers to the people of Israel, and to all generations refers to us. So how do we respond? to this psalm? Well, if you're in Christ, you can respond the same way that the psalm ends, by praising the Lord. If you're not in Christ tonight, and you would like to have these attributes of God, which you're in need of, then you can call on him, and he is available for you. Thank you. Any questions?